Hi there, I'm Tonya.
And my name is Regan, and this is The Student Sessions.
In our fourth series, we look behind the filter, interviewing the newly published authors of our brand new book, The Truth Behind the Filter, who chat to us about how they've been able to overcome setbacks, celebrate their successes, and live life away from behind the filter.
We are pleased to be joined today by one of our other newly published authors, Ali Garten, who is featured in our recently published book, The Truth Behind the Filter. Hi, Ali, how are you doing?
Hi, yeah, no, I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me back on the podcast.
It's honestly amazing to have you back. And you've also, I think you was a published author for our other book, wasn't you? Your Limited Edition.
Yes, I was. I've done that one and the latest one as well now.
Amazing. So you're not only a double author, but you're also a double podcast guest, which is fantastic. So in today's episode, we'll be talking with Ali about their journey through some of lockdown and also their battle with mental health and depression. So Ali, can you just give us and our listeners a little introduction to who you are?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Ali. I'm 23. I'm finishing my master's in computer science, where I'm researching about human-computer interaction. The last time that we spoke, I just finished my bachelor's degree, and I was just starting the degree that I'm about to finish. So this is like a nice way to start and end it.
Amazing. Ali, can you tell us where your story starts?
Yeah, so it kind of starts when I was arriving back in my university city after a long time away because of COVID. Because after the new academic year started in 2021, I'd moved back just to be trapped there when we got another lockdown. So I was stuck there in a tiny studio flat on my own. And then as soon as that lockdown was lifted, I just ran back to my parents' home. And so the start of my chapter in the latest book is me arriving back at university after having been away for a really, really long time. And everything had just completely changed.
And, you know, with all this changing and things like that, you know, I've read your chapter and you talk about how you've had to kind of say goodbye to old friends because, you know, with bachelor's sort of ending, everyone goes their separate ways. And then with starting the master's, you kind of, you know, you have new classmates and new peers and you start getting new friends. Was it difficult, you know, to say goodbye to old friends and make new ones?
Yeah, God, it was so difficult. I think it was probably made worse by the fact that I didn't get to say goodbye to my old friends because of lockdown. Mm-hmm. It all happened so suddenly. And then I didn't get to meet my new friends face to face for absolutely ages for exactly the same reason. And then in the gap in between my old friends having left and meeting my new friends, I was just really isolated because obviously there was lockdown, but then I just didn't have kind of anyone in between, you know, yeah, saying goodbye and meeting new people. So I think that was probably the hardest part, definitely really difficult.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. And I'm sure lots of people listening would probably have gone through a very similar experience. I know that's kind of a bit of an experience what I had as well, where it kind of all just happened so quickly and so out of the blue that it was really difficult to then look back and go, oh my gosh, yeah, I didn't actually get to say goodbye to my, you know, people I've spent 3 years or more with, and all of a sudden I'm having to make brand new friends. So yeah, really difficult, I'm sure. So I think it's important for people to know, you know, what makes them happy so they can try and focus on those things. But also it's important to know what triggers people and makes them feel down so we can acknowledge them and start to work on those triggers to prevent them happening again. In your chapter, you talk a lot about sort of ups and downs, especially of your mental health. Can you tell us, you know, some of those points of ups and downs?
Yeah, so I think for me, most of the kind of the highs that I felt were from having new friends and people to be around, and you know, lockdown lifting, restrictions are lifting, and life's kind of going back to normal. And I had some really, really great times with some of my friends, and some of my old friends came to visit, for example. And obviously I'd met new people, and as restrictions started to lift slowly, we could go and do more stuff together. So I had some really, really great times there. But I think a lot of the moments where I felt down were the restrictions were lifting so slowly, and I just felt a kind of like desperation. I was just, you know, like, oh, come on, why can't we just be completely back to normal? And why can't I go into work? And why can't I properly go and see my friends? And it was all happening kind of so slowly, and it was so different to what I was used to. And I really struggled with that, I think, just to kind of, it's almost like when you're ill, you know, and you feel like you took being not ill for granted. It was that kind of thing. It felt like just completely had taken normal life for granted and was just desperate for it to go back to that way. And I think the fluctuation between all those times when I was just feeling so low and so desperate for everything to go back to normal, mixed in with, oh, I feel so great, I've got all these friends and stuff is going back to normal, it was just an absolute roller coaster.
I bet, yeah. And what kind of things or coping mechanisms were you using to kind of, you know, help with that kind of roller coaster ride?
Well, for me, meeting up with people often helps, because I've got to be concentrating on whatever I'm doing when I'm out with people. So obviously that was harder during COVID. Definitely something I used as restrictions started to lift. Just nice to have people around you, you know. And also, sounds very strange because I know this is just not what other people like, but I just love to clean. When I'm cleaning and tidying, my brain is completely occupied and focused on what I'm doing. So I don't kind of spiral. It just makes me feel so much better. And then at the end, I have a nice clean room, which always makes me feel better as well. So that's always been a massive coping mechanism for me.
Mm-hmm. Those sound like some good mechanisms to put in place. And honestly, it's very personal as well, isn't it? You know, you said it sounds weird to do cleaning or whatever, but hey, if that works for you, that's great. And I think it's sometimes good to you know, tell other people that, you know, coping mechanisms don't have to be this really fancy thing or even expensive things. You know, sometimes people have I have sometimes a fear of like, the only way I can deal with things is by spending money on certain things or apps or whatever. But sometimes something as simple as like cleaning can be really helpful, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I absolutely get the spending thing as well. I really try hard not to do that. But yeah, everyone is so different. So it really does totally depend on kind of who you are as a person. But for me, cleaning definitely, and then meeting up with people, those are things that really, they keep my mind focused so that I'm not spiraling out of control.
So like I said, it's good to acknowledge these down moments so we can work on those, but also to acknowledge the good bits as well. And so in your chapter, you say that in June last year in 2021, you won an award. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it wasn't so much won as kind of achieved. It was a kind of program that I'd signed up for, and I'd been working on it. It was kind of a self-improvement, boost your prospects kind of thing. And I wrote about it in the first book, and then in the second book, this was kind of the next stage. It was just like the next level of this award. And you had to do a few different parts of it, complete a few different parts to get the full award. But my biggest takeaway from it was the completion of a life skills course. Because I looked at things like, I think there was managing conflict, understanding behavior, building resilience was one that I really specifically remember actually. And you have to really dive deep into yourself and your personality and just kind of examine who you are and why you are that way. And so, yeah, I got an award at the end of completing all the tasks, but I really got a lot out of doing that and examining myself and who I am at the same time. So, yeah, it was great to get the award, but it also helped me quite a lot as well, I think.
Well, yeah, I bet, definitely. I think, you know, like you said, it was not just winning, it's the whole kind of effort and work you put into it and then achieving the awards. So yeah, I mean congratulations, you know, on doing all that
Thank
work
you.
And being able to you know, really work on yourself. It sounds like quite a task to kind of really delve deep into your own sort of psyche, right, of what makes you tick and things like that.
Yeah, it was interesting and quite difficult at times, but no, it was good overall. Mm. I really enjoyed it. I learned quite a lot about myself. So
great. And another good thing that happened was that in September you graduated. And what was that like?
Oh, that was absolutely amazing. So obviously I officially graduated in 2020, but that was right when lockdown was, and it was postponed, but had to be cancelled again, which, you know, heartbreaking, but eventually it did go ahead. And so getting to attend the actual ceremony was absolutely amazing. I think it was even more special because I hadn't seen the people that I was graduating with for over a year, and quite a lot of them were able to make the ceremony, were able to attend. And so I got to see just so many people that I never got to say goodbye to. We got to do that, and we got to go out, have a bit of a party afterwards. It was absolutely brilliant. And I think it ended up representing so much more, because we'd gone through so much more hardship than compared to if COVID had never happened. So I think it just, we really felt like, we've definitely earned this now.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I fully, what's the word, understand all of those feelings and emotions, because it happened to me as well, where, you know, I graduated but didn't have any sort of ceremony for it for a long time, and things got started getting pushed back, and then all of a sudden seeing friends that you haven't seen for ages, it's not just seeing them, but you're like, wow, we're doing something that we were meant to do like ages ago, and we're celebrating all the stuff of all of our hard work. And it's an incredible feeling. And it was so nice when it happened to me. So I can really appreciate, you know, how amazing it must have been for you. So what sort of advice would you give to our listeners who may have gone through something similar? To you, in terms of, you know, all of the little ups and downs and the roller coasters, and kind of, you know, like I said before, there's probably lots of people who you kind of experienced with going through lockdown and things like that. What are the biggest takeaways that you got from it, and what kind of advice would you give to people?
I think my top advice would be just never lose hope, which I know is easier said than done, but if you acknowledge that good things are coming, they will. The bad times don't stay bad, they do pass. I mean, look at where we are now with COVID compared to, you know, say a couple of years ago, even last year. So good things are definitely coming, the bad times are going to pass. And it's so easy to look back at times that were better and to look forward and go, God, I hope they're going to be better in the future. But yeah, you have to keep hold of some hope and just kind of keep going, don't lose hope.
That sounds like some really good advice there, and I think hopefully that's gonna, you know, really resonate with lots of people and help a huge amount of us listening. I think I've also kind of been touched by that as well, and really, you know, it's nice just to hear someone else kind of who's gone through the same things as I have. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing all of those kind of stories and all of your ups and downs. I think it's really, really helpful.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm hoping that someone else will feel the same.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And we've got to say a huge congratulations to you, Ali, because as we said before, you're a second time published author. you know, featured in our first book, limited edition, and also now in Truth Behind the Filter. This time you know, focusing on life after sharing your story for the first time. Why do you think it was important to kind of come back and kind of give us an update to your life?
Well, I felt it was really important to come back, actually, because in the first book, I only really discussed how I'd been stuck in a spiral of depression, overcome it, and at the point that I wrote what I wrote, was living better and managing my symptoms. And I only really touched on that stuff because that was only the point that I'd got up to. I didn't have anything else to tell. But after having written that, I experienced this absolute roller coaster of ups and downs during recovery. And I learned just so much about coping and how progress actually works. And it's not just the, you know, it's not like a linear graph just going straight up. You're just going to constantly get better and better. It's ups and downs and it's all over the place. And you know, it's something I wasn't necessarily expecting, and so I feel like it's important to put out there that you know, it's not linear. Progress isn't linear, and recovery is messy, but you carry on and you do recover slowly, you do get better. I felt like it was important to share that as well as what I'd originally shared.
And talking about sharing your story, it'd be great to hear a little bit from your chapter, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, amazing. Okay, well, take it away.
So I'll start. This is the last, the last paragraph, and I wrote it as a series of headlines from throughout the year. This is the 11th of October, 2021. Headline: the high-tech headbands that claim to reduce your stress. If only. If such a thing really existed, I definitely felt I needed one. It was the first day of the academic year, undergraduate students were back, and the campus was coming back to life. I was starting a new job providing support to undergraduate learning, and it just felt like a lot more than just over half a year's worth of events had happened since I wrote about my mental health for the first time. But I was learning to embrace the changes and the busyness, and really starting to accept that progress feels up and down because it is. Progress is never linear, and a bumpy ride didn't mean that I wasn't recovering or dealing with my mental health, but the opposite. Stepping onto campus that day, I felt the same determination that I felt at the start of my third year, ready to overcome my depression, ready not to let my mental health get in my way, and ready to be me again.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Ali, for sharing that little snippet of your chapter. And it sounds amazing, and honestly, I've given it a read all through, so and all of it is a really, it was just really interesting of how you laid it out as well. You've kind of gone in sort of month by month of these sort of kind of, you know, headlines of news articles of COVID and lockdowns and things like that, and then kind of adding your own story about, you know, what's happening on those dates, and it's an incredible read, really inspiring. How do you feel about all of the response and you know, the huge sort of positive response that your chapter and the book has received?
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, it gives me hope that we're giving others hope. And I think it's so important to talk about the issues that are discussed in the entire book. Because we touch on some really important topics that I think really need public discussion and destigmatization. And I think the response that we're getting does show that people do want to talk about it, but it's difficult. So hopefully we're helping.
Oh, 100% you're helping. Yes, definitely. And, you know, what's in store in the next chapter of your life, Ali?
Well, next up, I'm off on a volunteering trip to Fiji, which I planned in 2019, aiming to go in 2020, but for obvious reasons, that was cancelled. But I rejoined the project very recently, and so I'll be heading out to remote Fijian villages in August to work with the villagers on their mental health, physical health, schoolwork. Just kind of general enrichment as well. So yeah, just going out to these remote places and volunteering with the people who live there.
Wow, That sounds just, that sounds incredible. That sounds so cool. Well, I, you know, wish you all the best on that kind of new journey.
Thank and I'm you. Sure it'll be yeah.
Absolutely amazing, honestly.
Thank you. I'm well, looking Ali, forward to you know, it.
I'm sure you are, yeah. So Ali, you know, our time is kind of coming to an end now. But so I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today and just having a little chat with me and kind of a really brief and whistle stop tour of your life or a little bit of your life. And so thank you so much for sharing with it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again. It was, you know, it's great. It's always great to talk about what we've done.
So thank you again, Ali, for joining us on Student Sessions, and for everyone listening, see you next time. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow us on socials. Just search TG Consulting on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Covering an incredibly diverse variety of themes from mental health to discrimination, imposter syndrome to student parenthood, The Truth Behind the Filter offers 50 unique and inspirational stories detailing the various barriers our authors have overcome. You can find it in WH Smith, Waterstones, and other great bookstores worldwide. You can also find it online at these places and on Amazon. Just search The Truth Behind the Filter to feel inspired now.